Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, how you doing, Atlanta? Beautiful day here in the studio. Not quite so much outside.
You're just listening to Chris Thomas, my man, Turtle. That poor guy, he walks to and from work, and I heard him on the air, and he was talking about how he was absolutely drenched from head to toe, and Lord have mercy, that man was not lying. He is still soaking wet after a 3-hour radio show here in the studio. I had to change out chairs here, because this man, the poor guy needed a towel when he walked in here, but no, like I said, beautiful day here in the studio, not quite so much outside. Another sopping wet day here in Atlanta. Eric Slaughter here is on the board with me, taking care of the show. We got full 3 hours here today on the studio. But look, I don't understand what's going on with this weather, Eric. I have no earthly idea what's going on. I feel like I'm in the Amazon rainforest right now.
It's Atlanta, man. You grew up here. You should be used to this.
This is
wait
nuts,
10,
though.
15 minutes. Whatever you had before will go away. Something new will come with you, man. It's just the way it is here.
Ain't that the truth, though? No, it's been one of those weeks. Last 2 weeks, really. I think it's just been sopping wet here in Atlanta. But look, I mean, it took a lot of rain to kind of cool off the bats there over at Truist Park. And the Atlanta Braves, I mean, look, I have a whole segment set up here just talking about what it's going to take for the Braves to make the playoffs. First and foremost, does anybody out there actually think that the Atlanta Braves are still in the mix to make the postseason? I do. What say you? 404-726-0929. What will it take? Because the Braves, as of right now, they sit at 31-38, so 7 games below 500. You got about 26 games until the All-Star break. You got, I want to say, 12 games before you actually meet the about a dozen games before you reach the literal midway point in the MLB season. But mathematically, they're still in this thing. I know that their Fangraphs odds have gone way down from where they were earlier in the season. I don't know with this team. I just don't know. Because the last 2 games, really the last 3 games, because we have a winning streak here in Atlanta. As crazy as it is to say for this team right now. But look, they're in a decent spot after the first 2 games of the season. That's not ideal, but it's decent. It's better than it was this time last weekend. You know, I mean, this is a team that needs to win every single series. And actually, let's take that a step further. I think they did have a massive mental hurdle when they beat Milwaukee, and they had that big series against Milwaukee. They won 2 out of 3 in that one. And then you're now off to a pretty good start here against a AAA squad in the Colorado Rockies. But this is a series you need to sweep. So go get the win tomorrow and do what you need to do. We'll talk a little bit more about what we saw today a little bit later when we get into Across the A in about 15 minutes from now. But no, this is a series you need to sweep. And I'm going to say that the next, I'd say, 2 weeks or so are going to decide everything that we need to know about this Braves squad and what this team is going to do. It's pivotal. Everything that this team can accomplish in 2025 is going to come down to what they do over the next few series. And at this point, I don't know if winning the series is even enough at this point. I think this team needs to get to 500 around the All-Star break. And I think if you win each of these series, I think that should be enough. But a sweep every now and then, I think should be what would be what you need to do in order to get back on top of things. Because the team that you're staring up at in the New York Mets, you're 13 and a half games back right now. I mean, it doesn't help that they have the best record in the National League. Certainly doesn't help that. But you get the Mets. You haven't seen them yet. You get the Mets next. Then it's the Phillies. Then it's a trip down to see the Fish. And then it's the Mets again up in New York. Those are your next 16 games. And you want to tell me that that is the most important stretch of the season. That's really all that counts right now. And you can't even look at it in the macro either. I mean, you have to take this day by day, game by game. You got to get a win, and then you got to focus on tomorrow and get a win again tomorrow. That's what this team needs to do. But the thing is, they could turn around at the end of this 16-game stretch and say, wow, we're actually right back in the mix. They're right back in the thick of things. And if they can get to 500 before the All-Star break, that's 26 games. They can get back to 500. We're looking at a team who's right back in it. And we've talked a lot about how talented this team is. And it's to the point where I feel like it's almost irritating to talk about how talented they are. But we saw what that talent looks like when it actually comes to fruition. Last night, you score 11 unanswered runs. Yes, I understand it's the Rockies. I get that. But that's what this team is capable of doing. And when you have a Ronald Acuna who's playing at the level that he's playing at right now, the dude is averaging a home run every 10 at-bats right now. And you got that guy at the top of your lineup. You're a pretty damn good squad. And then you get Yurickson Profar coming back soon. You're a pretty good damn good squad. I think getting over that mental hurdle against the Milwaukee Brewers was really the biggest thing that they need. But look about it this way. So it's like if you get two wins out of every three games, that will get you right to 500 around the All-Star break. Is that going to be enough? It'll get you in the mix. But the Padres are the last placed wildcard team right now. And I think that last I looked, they were 9 games over 500. So you've worked yourself into a situation where the Braves are going to be setting themselves up. Or they've set themselves up very poorly. They need another team in front of them to start scuffling and dragging their feet a little bit. That, or they need to do what they did in 2022 when they caught the Mets. You know, back when Salicata, he says that the NL East is over. He said that during Memorial Day, and it's not like the Mets slowed down. It's just the Braves ramped up. They got onto a torrid pace where they were like 104, 108 win pace or something like that for the final couple months of the season. Maybe the Braves have it in them. Now, if you have performances like you've had from this rotation in recent weeks and the bats wake up, then you're looking at a team who can compete with anybody in Major League Baseball. I think that this team has what it takes. It has what it takes. It's just the mental aspect of what this team needs. At some level, it's a little frustrating to watch this team. I mean, trust me, I told everybody last week when I was on, after this team lost that game to the Diamondbacks and give up 7 runs in the top of the ninth, I sat down and stared at my ceiling fan for 30 minutes. I was so frustrated. I can't even imagine what those players were thinking if I was that frustrated. But I think the mental hurdle was cleared against the Milwaukee Brewers. That's a really good Brewers squad. Now you get to beat up on this terrible Colorado Rockies squad, and then you get the big stretch. That is the stretch, I'll say it again, that will dictate what the Braves do this season. If you don't come out of that with a winning record, and look, you need to be a couple games over 500 over this stretch. Like, if you can give me, I don't know, 10 and 6, fine. 12 and 4, even better. And I think this team is capable of doing it. The Phillies are a good squad, but the Braves have handled them already this season. They haven't seen the Mets. And generally speaking, they do pretty darn well against the Mets. We'll see how it lines up, of course, but we'll see. My name is Garrett Chapman. We're coming off the bench. We got the next 2 hours or so, or 3 hours or so. We're talking about what it's going to take for the Braves to make the playoffs. So who needs to step up? I think you look at the vacuum that's been left field. Well, pretty good over the last couple of days. They move Alex Verdugo into the two spot, and it was a decision that I kind of scoffed at first, but he's actually answered and done pretty darn well recently. He got on base, I want to say twice today, three times yesterday. I'll take that, especially when this combination of Profar, or the lack thereof, Kelnick, De La Cruz, Eli White, and Stuart Fairchild have given you one of the worst producing left field spots in all of baseball. Absolutely dreadful. So when Profar comes back, I mean, this guy just needs to come in and do what he did last year. If he can do that, then you're looking at a completely radically changed lineup. Because if you can look at this lineup and say, oh, well, there's only really one hole, and that's Nick Allen, all due respect, you're not really going to get elite production out of him. Then you're looking at a lineup that is as good as any is in baseball, and it changes the complexion of the way that a pitcher can attack this lineup. Because he'll struggle a lot more. But you need Yerkes and Profar to come back, and he'll be back in a couple weeks, probably by the end of June, barring some rain delays or things like that. But look, he'll be back sooner rather than later. I mean, if he can just match his career averages, I want to say he's like 341 or something like that on base percentage, that's much better than what you're getting from it right now. I mean, last year was his best season that he's ever had. And if the Braves, I'm not going to assume that the Braves are going to get that from him, but if he can give you some semblance of that, or at least in spurts, you get him in that two spot, switch hitter right behind Ronald Acuna, that sets you up very nicely. And then you could put Nick Allen and hide him in the 7-8 spot. And then you have Michael Harris, who really has come along strong here over the last couple of weeks. He has 3 home runs in his last 6 games. And that's the other biggest thing for this team, is the fact that this 9-hole batter, really the 7-8-9 slots, they've got to set up Ronald Acuna. They got to do a little bit better of a job setting up the best player in baseball, or who I believe to be the best player in baseball, at least one of the most talented, right up there along the very best in the game. He's hitting home runs. Just not a lot of guys are on base in front of him. But I think all that changes when you have Michael Harris in that 9 spot and hitting as well as he can. And if he can just be the guy that is in June normally, then you're looking at a team that's set up for success. But Ronald Acuna, I mean, my God, how good has he been? How good has he been? He homers again today. And he also stole a base, which I love. I mean, he hasn't stolen any bases really at all. I think that was his first stolen base, actually, now that I think about it. But once he adds that back into his repertoire, you're looking at a guy who can get back and play at an MVP level. And that changes everything. But ultimately, it's just these stars need to be stars. Austin Riley has had a lot of swing and miss this year. He's on pace for like 181 strikeouts or something like that. He's just got to put the bat on the ball better. Matt Olson, he's had a good weekend so far. I mean, Riley's had a great weekend too. Michael Harris. I think it all starts and stops with him, though. Money Mike's got to get on base. Money Mike he hasn't walked since May 18th. It's been almost a full calendar month since Michael Harris has walked. Now, it helps when 3 out of his last 6 games, but we got to get that on base percentage, because if you can get guys on base in the back end of that lineup, then you're looking at a lineup that's turning over a lot more often and getting Ronald Acuna more plate appearances, and with guys on base. That's what this team needs more than anything, is guys who can set up Ronald Acuna in the top half of this lineup, because what you saw today was a top half that carried. You had 7 hits, but 6 of them came from your first 4 or 5 guys. Now, that's what happens in baseball. You know, that's why you get those guys at the top of your lineup. But look, this Braves squad, when they're at their best, can do what they did last night. Score 11 unanswered runs. And I'm just excited to see what they can do with Ronald Acuna now back in the fold, with Yerkes and Profar coming back, and some of these other guys like Michael Harris, like Ozzie Albies, who's been very good since his buddy Ronald Acuna came back. But these guys, we're starting to see them heat up just a little bit. It's not a big spin, not even a full week, hitting the ball well. But we've seen the flash. Need to put all the pieces together and ultimately got to get out of their own way. They've been a bit of a head case here for the last month and a half. But You look and see what they did in the month of May and early April, or April into May. That was a team who had the best record in a period of time for like 25 games. They're fully capable of being one of the best teams in baseball, but they've dug themselves a hole. So what will it take for this team to make the playoffs? Well, it helps when you have a rotation that's doing what they're doing right now. You last 124 innings for Sale, Schwelley, and Elder. They got a 2.61 ERA. I mean, my God, they're doing exactly what they need to do. Chris Sale himself in his last nine starts, he'll be on the mound for you tomorrow. He has a 1.41 ERA, 75 strikeouts, four games with 10-plus, only 18 walks and three home runs. Spencer Schwellenbach just went a full nine innings. He had a complete game, first one of his career. And when Bryce, he was tough yesterday, but he's been solid. And Strider, we'll talk a little bit more about him when we go across the A here in about 5 minutes or so, but he was fantastic today. He was fantastic. The bullpen will need some love. It'll need some love here at the deadline. But this is a team that can make the playoffs. I have not given up hope on this team. Now, like I said, you're seven games below 500. Just got to wake up. And I think the pitching has been just fine. The pitching's actually been much better than fine. I'll say the pitching's been among the best in baseball. And I know the love, but they get some of that love. Watch out. This team's got a run in them. Hopefully it comes sooner rather than later. Like I mentioned, Spencer Strider, what did he do today? We'll talk a little bit more about that when we go across the A, when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This U.S. Open has been absolutely nuts. They're up there at Oakmont, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The list of people who missed the cut on Friday, it is just crazy to me. I know some people are frustrated with it. I know Mike Bell was talking about it. I mean, look, I'm watching it right now. It's up on the screen here in the studio. And these golf balls are just nestled in this incredible grass. It's just gorgeous grass, but it is very thick, very thick. And I've played grass like this before where you hit a ball just barely off of the fairway. Good luck, because it'll nestle in there. It's the only golf. I was up in Lexington, Kentucky, and it was the only place that I have ever lost a ball after hitting it maybe a foot or two off of the fairway. I mean, what? Oh, my God. And I know some people are frustrated with how difficult this course is. They want to watch the best players golf and play at a high level. And, I mean, you got Victor Hovland here. He's one under now on the tournament in fourth place here. But I've seen several people who have hit the ball. They come down, strike the golf ball, and it bounces like 3 feet in front of them. I mean, I do that. That's what I do. Amateurs do that. Not the best golfers in the world. I want to watch these guys play at a high level, but at the same time, it's like I understand it where you want to watch these guys struggle a little bit. It's just because it's a little fun just to see what happens. And yeah, they are human. I mean, I say that, and Victor Hovland just put the ball maybe like 3 feet from the hole. God, what a shot there. But I mean, you look at the list of people who missed the cut. Phil Mickelson, six-time major champ, he missed it. Gary Woodland, Tommy Fleetwood, Justin Thomas, Justin Rose, Shane Lowry, Bryson DeChambeau. I mean, Rory McIlroy. He just barely, I mean, just missed it. Just barely missed it. He birdied on 18 to avoid elimination. Just a crazy cut. I mean, the cut line was 7. Plus 7. It's crazy. Like, it's absolutely nuts. I don't know. I don't even know the last time I've seen a major championship with a cut line that high. But it's nuts. All right. It's moving day. We got the rest of our updates here. Let's see who's still leading. Spahn just took the lead. He's 1 under on the day. Burns, Scott, Hovland, and Lawrence. That makes out. And then Ortiz. That rounds out your top five there. But a lot of names that I'm just not really familiar with. So we're going to get some new folks. I mean, unless Victor Hovland. I mean, Victor Hovland had a pretty good 2023, and we'll see what he can do here. But it's been a fun tournament to watch. I have enjoyed it. Not everybody has, but look, it's a beautiful golf course. I've seen the crazy things they've been doing with the lawnmowers and everything else, trying to prepare. They've been preparing this course here for the last couple of months to play just the most difficult rounds of golf that you possibly can. And some people have said it's the most difficult golf course in the United States. And I would tend to believe them. I mean, I've seen guys here on this course, like, look, so they shot a 12 over par today. That's a professional golfer who shot 12 over par. It's nuts. All right, that's enough golf talk. Mr. Slaughter, what do you say? Let's go across the A.
Talk about sports.
I like it.
Sweet. Thanks, buddy.
Getting you up to date on all the ATL sports headlines. This is Across the A.
With Off the Bench. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, we'll get into the Braves here in just a moment, but the College World Series is underway. They're up there in Omaha. Huge week for the College World Series. I love the College World Series. I really enjoy it, and it's really one of the only times I get into college baseball is once we get into postseason play. And I know a lot of people have been moaning about what's going on with the SEC. They call them overrated at the blah, 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 blah. I don't care. They're the best conference in baseball. And they showed it during the regular season. Wasn't a great super regional showing for them, all things considered, but wasn't a great showing for a lot of teams, you know? I mean, you got some great stories nonetheless. I mean, Murray State, the fact that they're up there in Omaha right now is just unbelievable. They have 600 people, I think, is the capacity for the Racers up there in Kentucky. I mean, like, it's a stadium in disrepair. I saw some of the pictures of it. But no, they're up in Omaha, and they're going to be playing in front of 27,000 people. So it's a really cool story there for Murray State. But it doesn't end very well today. They lose to UCLA. In the bracket two, it's double elimination. They lose 6-4 to UCLA. Arkansas and LSU are on now. I want to say it's the bottom of the second inning. I just had it up on the screen, and still 0-0 in that one, the two SEC squads that are representing up there in Omaha. Yesterday, though, Coastal Carolina, they continue their winning ways. 7-4 win over Arizona. And then Oregon State, another one of the top teams in baseball. They beat Louisville 4-3. Coastal Carolina, Oregon State, they'll play tomorrow at 7 o'clock in Louisville and Arizona. They'll have a winner-go-home matchup at 2. Coastal Carolina and Oregon State, that's going to be a lot of fun. The Chanticleers, I mean, they've been about as good as anybody in baseball, if not better, over the last 2 months or so. Just white hot baseball team. And then bracket two, losers play Monday, 2 o'clock, winners Monday at 7 o'clock. And then Wednesday, Thursday, that's when we'll figure out who's going to be playing in the national title game. We'll see who ends up doing it. But I got a pretty good feeling it's going to be Arkansas or LSU. One of those two are probably going to be one of the representatives, at least in the national championship game. Falcons, they finished up minicamp earlier this week. We'll hear some audio there when we do our NFL pick six at the top of the hour. Up at 8 o'clock, we'll whip it around the NFL, too, and we'll hear from a lot of different people who had camp. Shamar Stewart and company, my God, what's going on with the Bengals? Just another nasty story there, what's going on up there in Cincinnati. But here in Atlanta, the Braves, big win here today and yesterday. They get the 4-1 win today, 12-4 winners yesterday. Bryce Elder, I was just showering him with praise in the last segment. Got a dose of reality last night. Only 3 and a third. 7 hits allowed, 4 earned runs, 3 walks, 2 strikeouts, loads up the bases. He's saved the first time, and then the second time, that's all she wrote. But the bullpen, they locked down Colorado. Gave up 14 hits total in this one. It doesn't burn you, but you only allow 4 runs. All of those coming from Bryce Elder. But look, you got some clutch double plays. You had some good moments there. But really, the story of that game is the fact that you score 11 unanswered runs. Bats came alive in those final 3 innings, 3-3-5. I love those crooked numbers. It's not one. You know, I honestly don't know the last time I've seen the Atlanta Braves with a box score of 3 runs, 5 runs. Pretty good. I think it's only the 4th time this season, maybe the 5th time this season, that they've eclipsed that double-digit run total. So the bats have been dreadful, you know, and seeing what they did last night really gives me a little bit of confidence, and hopefully it gives them some confidence too. But Ronald Acuna, I mean, he reaches 4 times last night. He scores twice. Alex Verdugo, he had a pair of hits, and Olsen came alive in a big way. 3 hits and 3 RBIs for the big man. And Harrison Ozuna, specifically Michael Harris, they both get a 3-run home run. I mean, this is a team that hasn't had a 3-run home run in well over a month, and they got a pair of them last night. So you get some 3-run home runs. Generally speaking, you're going to win that baseball game. It's something that the team has struggled to get this year. Really, just getting guys on base and then getting them around to score. It's been a struggle, you know, and like I said, hopefully this series can build up some confidence, but you got to go out and get a win tomorrow. But Spencer Strider, oh boy, he needed that game. Oh, he needed a performance like this. He goes 6 innings, 13 strikeouts, and allows just 3 hits. Man. His velocity was getting up there. I think he peaked at 96 or 97 or so, but he was consistently in that high 95, maybe low 96 number. That's what we need to see from him because he hasn't had the power. You know, and Tom Glavin talked about this on the broadcast a couple weeks ago, but it's as far as his control and his command has to be at an all-time high. There's just not a lot of margin for error for the guy. You know, I mean, when you're used to having stuff that gets up into the 97, 98, 99, range, and then all of a sudden you can't get past 95. Yeah, you got to hit that slider. Got to have a good putout pitch, and he just hadn't had it. But today, he gets it in a big way. 13 strikeouts, and Ronald Acuna, he scores 3 times. He has another home run. He just barely misses out on his stretch of 3 hit games. I think he had 3 hit games. I think 3 times in a row. The dude's a beast. He's a beast. I mean, since coming back, I mean, the guy has been just on a torrid pace. I'm trying to pull up his stats real quick. Yeah, he's 375 average, 6 home runs, 11 RBIs, and he has 27 hits. He's getting on base at a high level. He has a 1.124 OPS. And the man has got a 211 OPS plus. 211 if you're into that kind of thing. He's hitting the cover off the baseball. And the last couple of games, you're starting to see guys getting on base in front of him. Wouldn't you know? Braves are winning more baseball games. It's crazy how that works. And hopefully it gets a little bit better when Yerkson Profar does come back. But I will say, though, the top of the lineup, they carried the water. And of the 7 hits for the Braves in the win today, Verdugo playing well in that number 2 spotter this weekend. He reached base twice today, 3 times yesterday. So Braves tomorrow, they finish up the series with Colorado on Sunday. It's Chris Sale. He's back out there on the mound. We'll see what he can do there. I mentioned last segment that this guy has been playing at just an elite pace. He's at that Cy Young level. You know, his last 9 starts, got 1.45 ERA. As good as anybody in baseball, if not better. I mean, if he can keep pitching at this level, you're looking at a guy who might challenge for another Cy Young. Started really slow, but, you know, he's just been the best pitcher in baseball over the last 9 starts. Pretty good. Pretty good. I'll take that. And the All-Star voting, it's opened up, and Ronald Acuña is making his case for it. I think, like I mentioned, Chris Sale, Ronald Acuña, I think those are probably your best bets to get All-Star appearances, or at least the nod in those performances. Chris Sale might even get the start. Who knows? But with it being here in Atlanta, I want to get as many Braves players in there as possible. I set the line at 2.5. Will they get more than that? I've got a hard time believing it. I don't know. Was Michael Harris? No. Left field? No. Nick Allen? No. Austin Riley? Maybe. He might get some votes, but he hasn't really had a very good season this year statistically. Matt Olson? He's not going to get it. It's Freddie? No, it's not Ozzy. Drake Baldwin? Maybe. Maybe, but I just have a hard time believing that somebody who gets ABs 2 out of every 5 days is going to get a lot of love in that regard. But Sean Murphy's probably not your best bet. But Drake, I mean, maybe Drake Baldwin could do it. Maybe Spencer Schwellenbach, too. I mean, if he comes out there and shoves like he did against the Brewers when he goes 9 innings, yeah. He was touching 99 miles an hour in the 9th inning. Crazy to think about that. But look, if he continues to do that, maybe to kind of a backdoor kind of role for the All-Star game. But that's probably your best bet. 2.5 is my number. I bet you get 2. It's just about who that third person's going to be. But Atlanta United, Lord have mercy. Bless their hearts. They lose to NYCFC on Thursday 4-0. Probably the nastiest loss I've seen from them. And it was a game that they probably should have been up top. They should have been leading at halftime. And you had a chance to be up 2-0. And instead, you go to halftime 1-0. And then it's just the floodgates just come pouring open. And it's ugly. It was ugly. We'll talk to Jason Longshore about that coming up at 9 o'clock. But they got 5 more games on the road because the Club World Cup at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. They get on Wednesday. So you get a couple days off and then flying up to Ohio to play one of the best teams in Major League Soccer. But break. The National Hockey League, could it be coming to Atlanta? Well, it passed a major hurdle up there in Forsyth County. Maria Martin caught up with Vernon Krause and hear what she had to say here in this clip.
Vernon, this is the culmination of years of hard work by your team. When they are unanimous in greenlighting this project, what does that mean to you?
Well, it's emotionally, it's been a lot of hard work by a lot of people. So it's nice to see when you work hard, and our team, entire team, has worked hard that it paid off.
Yeah, and that's Maria Martin who was picking that sound up. She's done a fantastic job over there at 11 Alive of following this story, tracking it from start to finish. She's been following it for a very long time, for as long as I can remember. But look, she's done a great job, but Vernon Krause has also done a fantastic job. It's a big, big day for hockey fans in Georgia. That project called The Gathering is a green light. Forsyth County Commission has voted to approve all definitive documents. Should the NHL say they're expanded, Vernon Krause is a fully funded and backed project ready to go. And like you heard, he's pretty emotional. It's been a big hurdle. And do you want it to come to Atlanta? I say absolutely. I really want to get a hockey team in Atlanta. This is a city that they have a good hockey base. It's just they had bad ownership. That's what it came down to, was bad ownership. I don't want to drive up to Forsyth County to go do it. All due respect to our friends up there in the Cumming area and Alpharetta, but that's a long way. You know, I live in Midtown. You live in the city because the stuff is in the city. You know, I want to be around the stuff. But I digress. I mean, ultimately, at the end of the day, if that's what it takes to get a hockey team here to Atlanta, then I'm willing to make the trip every couple of days. But I'm excited for the idea. We'll see if it actually happens. TBD. TBD. Now the ball, the puck, is in the court of the NHL. All right, when we get back, like I said, Falcons finished up minicamp. We'll hear from some of them and whip across the rest of the NFL when we get back. You're coming off the bench with me, Garrett Chapman, right here. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. It's a big-time Father's Day weekend here in Atlanta and everywhere. Eric, you got big Father's Day plans? Yeah, I feel you. You'll be hanging out here, doing your thing. You and me both, brother.
8 luxurious hours here at Sports Radio 929 The Game.
Bless your heart, man. No, I'm lucky enough. I'm taking Dad to the Braves game tomorrow, 1:30. Big game here for the for our Bravos, and I'll be there in attendance, hanging out with them and seeing if they can finish off a sweep. It'll be fun. That'll be a lot of fun. I don't know if he's actually been to Truist Park before. I think this is actually going to be his first time, and I'll be able to go with my little brother and my dad, and you know, it's going to be really special. We'll talk a little bit more at 8 o'clock. We'll do some Father's Day memories. We'll talk a little, we'll reminisce a little bit coming up in about 20 minutes, but we got a lot of fun to get into. And a lot of it starts with what we saw up there at Flowery Branch. So what do you say we set an NFL pick six?
It's time for the pick six.
A look around the NFL with Off the Bench.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Yeah, so Raheem Morris in company. This is the squad that finished up last season with... They struggled mightily on defense at times. And look, you got Jeff Ulbrich. He comes in. He's going to give you a little bit new look on defense. And the biggest questions facing Jeff Ulbrich ultimately come down to whether or not this team can get after the quarterback. They finished 31st in the NFL with 31 sacks, which is less than half of what Denver had when they're leading the NFL last year, 63. You had seven. You only had 12 interceptions, though. That's one of the lesser-known aspects of what this team can do, or didn't do last year. They don't. They just don't get interceptions very much. They finished 17th in the NFL. Mind you, Minnesota had 24. Again, double what you had. Some of that, of course, it goes with the pass rush. And if like if you get a pass rush, sometimes what happens is you're back in. They do pretty well too. You know, so if you can get the quarterback on the ground more often than not, they're going to start forcing passes, and that's when your defense can start picking things off. You know, and in Minnesota, they did an extremely good job of that last year. Denver did an extremely good job of that last year, and it's no coincidence that both of those teams were flirting with the playoffs last year. Excuse me. They both made the playoffs last year. You know, and look, that was a Denver team that was pretty damn good. Minnesota, second-best record in the NFL last year. No, I'm not going to say the Falcons are going to replicate that, but look, Raheem Morris, he addressed the media earlier this week. He says that the defense is being devised around improving that pass rush and those tactics and everything else. It's all going to revolve around that. Take a listen.
At the end of the day, it's about how can we get to the pass rusher better, right? And that's going to change how we look on the defense just in general. So, like, Jeff brings detail. Jeff brings style of play. Jeff brings all of these different things that he's able to perform in front of that room, which I love and which we've been a part of together for a very long time. So, like, these guys formulating our system and how we want to do it and when we want to implement the attack front, when we want to implement whether we play a 4-eye and do some of the different things that we've done in the past from all the different walks of life that we've been on, I think is very important. And I think it's very important to find out, being really intentional when you want to use all of those things. I think that's what we're doing right now as a defense, and it's kind of learning every single day and getting better every single day on defense, and I'm loving what they got going on.
Yeah, 31 sacks is just not going to be good enough, and I don't think that that's the situation they're going to be in. They were very aggressive in addressing the pass rush. Of course, you saw what they did. You trade up in the first round to go get James Pierce. You get Jalen Walker, who I think was the best defensive player potentially in this draft outside of Abdul Carter. You can also say Travis Hunter, too, but he's more of a unicorn just in general. But look. This Falcons defense, if they can get guys on the ground at a more consistent level, then maybe you can improve on that dreadful 45.3% third down conversion rate that you allowed. That was the second worst in the NFL. And you know, if you put guys behind the chains, wouldn't you know, generally your defense does better. And I think the Falcons are taking the proper steps in order to address that. And like you just heard from Raheem Morris, that's their focus. That's what they're doing. But now, up next, you get 5 weeks off. They're on their own. Raheem Morris talked about what the plan is going to be over the next 5 weeks.
Kind of been having some one-offs with a bunch of guys, you know, talking about this five-week status and what their plans are. Got a bunch of people in the building that's been able to help me with that to make sure we can touch everybody to find out what they're doing, what they're going to plan on doing. And then if there's some people that need some guidance, we can give them some help on what it looks like, whether it be advice to a Michael Penix on what to do and what people have done in the past, being able to sort those guys out to help them to get those kind of that kind of information that you don't always get as a coach, right? As a coach is a different break than it is for a player and how they prepare when they come back. So, like, who's better to tell a guy like Michael Penix what he did throughout his career than a Matt Ryan? Who's better to tell some of these guys what they've done to be able to show them examples of what, like, a Grady Jarrett did when you're talking about a young defender, when you're talking about a Brandon Root. Excuse me, I put them together. A Rook or a Dorlish, right? But, like, all of those things are very important when you're talking about you know, historical evidence of how people did it. And then you got some players on our roster or some coaches on our roster that played like a Lance Shelters, like a Jeff Obrick. What was their routine? What was their rhythm? What does Jake Matthew do? Because whatever he's doing, I want to do. Just all those type of things. And that's kind of the most important thing, trying to match these guys up so they can have some type of rhythm and relief, knowing this is not a break for them. This is a get ready moment. This is a get ready period. You have to take a small break. You got to enjoy family. But there's a certain part of it that you got to be ready to go when we get back.
Yeah, I mean, this is a young team. It's a very young team. Talked about that last week, about how this is a squad that I was looking at who the breakout guys are. And most of the guys who I name are all under the age of 26. They're all really young, you know, and those are your stars. Those are your playmakers. Those are the guys who are going to fuel this team next year. Most of those guys are also on their first contract. But the other crazy thing about this is how most of the guys on this roster have not made the playoffs. They don't have any playoff experience. That's a red flag. And ultimately, like, you don't see teams win Super Bowls without playoff experience. It's just not something you see very often, much less even play in the Super Bowl. You know, the only time I can think of a team who's very green to the playoffs, make that run in the postseason and get to a Super Bowl, are the Cincinnati Bengals a couple years ago with Joe Burrow. You know, and look, maybe the Falcons can turn around and do that. I'm not going to hold my breath for that fact. But you talk about the urgency of making the playoffs. I mean, A.J. Terrell says this when he was on with Duke Simbell in a private interview.
Yeah, I'd be a fool not to say it's not on my mind. You know, going on year six, like you said, never you know, sniffed it almost, I want to say, but it's definitely on all of our minds, and I think that's what makes the team special this year, just knowing. And I feel like we've been special, you know, of course, all the years, mm-hmm. but, like, going into year six and still haven't gotten there, now it's like, you know, more of a priority. So, you know, everything that we do is leading up to the playoffs and not just being satisfied with the playoffs, but actually, like, trying to make a Super Bowl push, because we got all the pieces to the puzzle. We just got to come in every day and just buy in and just have fun and play at a high level week in, week out.
They're saying all the right things. You know, I mean, this team is talented enough to make a postseason run. They're talented enough to win the NFC South. They're talented enough, but like I talked about with the Atlanta Braves earlier in the hour, talent doesn't mean much if you don't win games. And this squad has no winning records in 7 years. They have no playoff appearances in 7 years. That's reality. You know, so until they prove us wrong or prove the national media wrong, I'm a believer in this team. This is just going to be a narrative that's going to continue to revolve around this team. Same thing with sacks. Same thing with interceptions. Until you prove it on the football field, a lot of people aren't going to be buyers. And I just compared this team potentially with what that Cincinnati Bengals team was a few years ago. A guy who was on that team is Jesse Bates. He talked with Duke Simbell earlier this week as well. And this is what he had to say about the urgency about making the playoffs.
You know, when you get to the playoffs, it's a whole different world. And I think that I want all my brothers, every brother I play with, I want them to experience that playoff atmosphere and not even just, you know, our players, but our families. All this time that we spent away from them, and for them to go and experience a playoff game, for my mom to be at an AFC championship game, you know, that was insane to me. Life, you know, dream come true for my mom. And then everything that comes with it for this facility as well. I mean, coaches get nice bonus, you know, the calf gets nice bonus. Like, it's all good, and, you know, when you're winning. You know, you get all pros, you get Pro Bowls, whatever that is, all that stuff that people want, the all pros and the Pro Bowls, all that stuff comes when you win. And that's the main thing. I think that's what you're talking about. The urgency of getting back to the playoffs is a big deal for sure.
Yeah, I mean, Bijan Robinson's a perfect example of somebody who doesn't get the national love that I think he deserves. People talk about him as being a statistically dominant player. I mean, people say that he's the number one player off the board in fantasy football. Okay, why are we not talking about the guy as an early season favorite, a preseason favorite for offensive player of the year? Well, the team has to win, like Jesse Bates just said. And look, you don't see Opoys come from rosters that have losing records. You don't see the years come from rosters that don't make the playoffs. MVPs are typically 1, 2, 3, 4 seeds. They win their divisions. They will their teams to the postseason. They win football games. And until the Falcons get to that level, you're not going to have a lot of postseason honors. I mean, we talked last year about how A.J. Terrell was robbed of some awards. We talked about how Jesse Bates is not recognized properly in the NFL. Well, guess what? It's not going to come unless you win football games. They know that. Everybody knows that. I'm not telling anybody anything that they don't know already. This team is talented enough to get to the postseason. But you're relying on some of these rookie players to take big steps forward very early. You know, and look, I like the idea of Arnold Ebikadian taking over. I think he's my biggest breakout player on defense. I think he can get to double-digit sacks this year. Leonard Floyd on the other side, you actually have a nice little rotation going. But I heard Joe Patrick on, he was with John Fricke earlier in the day, and he talked a little bit about potentially having the body type to succeed very early. Because he's big. He should deal with these big NFL bodies. He did it in the SEC at a very high level. He won the Butkus Award. You know, I mean, this is a guy who can do things at a high level. And Jaylen Walker, I mean, he talked about that attack style and what it means for this defense.
Right. He allows us to play a lot more free, a lot more with technique, but on a smaller level. It helps us attack the offensive line and the gaps and things, but it makes it better to fill in those gaps for us.
Yeah, I'm taking a look at this defense, and I think that they can attack. And it helps when you have an offense who scores a lot of points. I think ultimately this offense is going to be up in that 27, 28, 29 points per game range. I think that they're capable of doing that. They could be one of the top 10 offense, but if they're a top 10 offense, that elevates what your defense is doing. It puts a little bit marker on this team. And look, as long as you're not what the Bengals are last year, where their offense was among the best in the NFL, but the defense was also among the worst. I think the defense is going to take a big old step forward. And they have to. They have to. You got the talent on defense. And I think that you still have some holes. That defensive line is not exactly where I want it to be. You're just relying on young players taking a step forward. Pass rush is fine. Linebacker core is below average. You know, your Caden Ellis is somebody who you need to play at a really high level and absolutely stay healthy all season. But crossing your fingers and hoping for health is not always the best way to do things. We'll see. But, I mean, Michael Penix also comes down to him. We've talked ad nauseum about that guy, and we will continue to talk ad nauseum about Michael Penix. He's got the qualities of a winner. He's got the qualities of somebody who's going to take this offense to the next level. But can the defense follow suit? The performances of Jaylen Walker, of James Pierce, of Arnold Ebikadie, that they're going to go a long way in deciding that fact. Is this team going to make the postseason? I don't know. I think they're talented enough to do it. But talent doesn't win games. The players win games. The coaches win games. Talent's just a nice thing that you can talk about on the radio. Prove it. That's my message to the Atlanta Falcons. All right, when we get back, talking about proving it, the Indiana Pacers have proved it in a very big way. We'll talk about the NBA Finals, wild game last night, and what has been really one of the most fun matchups that I can remember. I said it could be potentially the best NBA Finals potentially since 2016 when we saw that crazy comeback. It's tied 2-2. We'll talk about the Pacers and the Thunder when we get back. Plus, I'm going to tell you why the Atlanta Hawks can replicate what the Pacers are doing. But you got to wait 5 minutes to do that with me. You're coming off the bench with Garrett Chapman right here. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
They're already stars, but now you can make them all stars. Vote in the 2025 Pro Spirit MLB All-Star Ballot 5 times daily. Show your favorite players just how much you want to see them play in Atlanta. And new this year, download and visit the MLB Pro Spirit game during Phase 1, and you can secure an additional vote per day for your favorite players. Submit your ballot today at MLB.com/vote and add some shine to summer. Voting ends June 26th at 12 p.m. Eastern Time. MLB trademarks used with permission.